Here's the reality, guys. Ready for it? Islam has taken over the world.
After I converted, I felt closer to Jesus than when I was a Christian.
Repeat that again.
They're taking over. The caliphate.
Okay, hold on. Hey, the caliphate.
Is that like...
Well, there's white people in there. There's people that, by the way, don't even know how to wear the freaking hijab. Don't...
Actually, with this new bill, once you threaten an American's free speech, you might as well have attacked baseball.
So this bill is dangerous and unconstitutional and wrong on every level.
Islam speaks about Jesus.
Your Quran, say of the birth of our dear Lord Jesus Christ.
We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed. That's why I used the black seed by Tasneem. And 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off.
Assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. How are you guys doing? I have an exciting program for you. Not only are we going to be talking with Sheikh Mahil Smith, who's the author of two really good books, Heart and Mind, Hearing Becomes Listening. He's also a former Baptist, Catholic also. And people have been sending me at the same time a lot of these clips that have been recently coming out from the PBD podcast. You know,
Islam has taken over the world.
PBD, because they know that we got to meet Patrick Ben David, had some good things to say about him. And now... it's quite a twist now, the direction that they're going. We're going to go ahead and cover with our guests some of the things that just came out. I want to thank people who've been sending me some of these for these latest ones. Omar, who's also a fan of the PBD podcast. For a lot of Muslims, that's changing now. That's a big demographic that Patrick's got to really think about that they're losing here. So let's get into this program. Sheikh Mahil Smith.
Let me introduce you to my family. We have one God, His name's Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad. Peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
Dude, I love you very much. I love the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam kata. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here. Good to be here with you.
Good to have you with us.
Seeing all the good work you're doing online, amazing, amazing. May Allah put barakah and bless it, inshallah.
Ameen, alhamdulillah. Let's get right into this clip. How's that?
Yeah, let's look at it. Let's take a look at it.
Let's not waste any time. Get straight into this and get some of your feedback because you're an American.
Yeah, definitely.
You're also you're a former Baptist.
Yeah.
Catholic.
Yeah.
So you have a mix of both here.
Yeah.
And you're
studied the deen, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, born, bred, and raised American. And at the same time, you were so in love, intrigued by Islam, you became now somebody who's a teacher of Islam, right?
Yeah,
an academic in Islam.
Yep. Been teaching Islamic law, tafsir, you know, breakdown of the sunnah, breakdowns of the exegesis of the Quran for a long time now. And so, I mean, I accepted Islam over 20 years ago and right away just went into deep study of it. And so... let's take a look at it.
So I want to just, because some people sometimes they can't get past certain things because now it's like, okay, it's different from our culture. But let's say if we were sitting with a priest, the priest would have like, you know, all black and he'd have a white, what is that called? The
not sure.
By the Thai here area.
Yeah.
Let's say if you had who he had recently, Marmar, the bishop.
Okay.
You know, he's got the Orthodox thing.
Yeah.
So how would you define this?
Oh, this is just a kind of traditional Arabic kind of like thobe with my kufi on. The kufi or the head is kind of something that many Muslims wear to represent their Islam and just kind of close to the way of the Prophet. So I tell him a lot of people like to dress in that way. And
you didn't become Arab now, did you?
Because
a lot of people say, oh, you're Muslim, you're Arab?
My name's Michael Smith, man.
Michael Smith.
As apple pie in baseball, man. That's American, right?
All right.
And then, let's
get into this.
Here's the reality, guys. Ready for it? Islam has taken over the world.
Oh, like right here.
Okay, so this, I pause it right there.
This Islam has taken over the world kind of narrative. It's an old narrative, man. it goes Orientalism back, like way back, this kind of like make Islam the monster, right? Make Islam evil, make everyone scared of it. I mean, it's a very old tactic. Islam doesn't have global domination, an agenda. Islam wants to allow people to see the truth. What did the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, teach? What did all of the prophets, peace and blessings be
all
upon
the
them?
Prophets?
Going all the way back to Adam.
Jesus, one of them.
I often tell some people, and I don't want people to misunderstand this, I often tell people that after I converted, I felt closer to Jesus than when I was a Christian.
Repeat that again. Okay, so after you converted to Islam, what?
I felt closer to Jesus. Why? Let me say why. Because I felt as if Christianity
Somebody pay you to say that?
Nah, bro. This is just my heart, man. I mean, when you objectively look at what Islam is teaching, you'll see what I'm saying. What I meant was that I felt that Christianity for me, it was a religion about Jesus, but Islam was a religion of Jesus. What did he actually do? How did he live? I would read verses of the Bible about how he lived, what he ate, his diet, his way of prayer, right? And when I converted to Islam, this is over 20 years ago now, I felt closer. Felt even closer, right?
And that's deep. You felt closer to Jesus. Felt closer on him.
Yes, yes.
As a Muslim.
Yes, because it wasn't about worshiping him. It was about following a way that he had laid down, not making him the objective of that. Right. And that's what people kind of have lost sight of. But let me get back to this video, please. Right? This kind of idea that Islam is taking over, it kind of puts people on guard. They don't want to objectively look at it because you just made it evil. You made it something that's trying to take. No one wants to be taken over, no matter what it is. So by saying Islam is taking over, what does he mean? Most of them, they go down the route of, you know, population. Muslim families are typically bigger. You know, the Western secular model is kind of highlighting, have one kid and a dog, you're good to go.
Yes. Right? Our friend Patrick, he often is saying this, that you need to have more kids. Yeah. This is the competition. Muslims are having so many kids.
And yeah. That's definitely, the numbers are there for sure. Like, you can't deny the fact.
It's a good thing having families.
Yeah, exactly. Because Islam, the prophetic model of our Prophet Muhammad and all of the prophets, was a model of caring for the immediate family, having taking care, investing in that next generation. And I think the individualistic society, what happens is it's all about me. What am I going to accomplish? Having children, raising children takes a level of sacrifice from yourself. Right, I'm a father of three. I understand. It's just not about my own progress. It's about investing in the progress of another generation. And the more children you have, that it becomes, it's a challenge, like everyone knows. So this idea, like Islam is taking over, I think right away we can recognize he's putting everyone in a defensive mode. Islam is taking over. Why? Because some kids were praying on campus. Prayer on campus is now a sign that Islam is taking over the world. I think there's a problem with that.
Let's continue on here.
They've already taken over the Middle East. We've seen that. They've taken over Europe. Do you see what's going on in France?
Time out right here. What does that mean? Let's be specific. What are you saying happening in France, Germany? Like, what are the specific things? You're just naming different places. What's happening in each of those places so that we can discuss that, right?
That's very important. This is the objection we have, because Patrick has my number, and he had before a Muslim and also Christian. Why don't he be fair and object? Come, let's give some opportunity to go ahead and debate these things.
Yeah, and have perspective.
Perspective, yes. Some pushback, you
yes,
know?
Definitely.
So go ahead, finish what you were saying.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's abstract. He's not giving us, he's saying this is happening everywhere. What do you mean it's happening everywhere, right? If we look at some of the European countries that were most heavily engaged in colonialism in the early, and the height of colonialism, now they're having a problem that the places that they colonized are coming back to their own homeland. You were the first ones colonizing places. You were the first spreading your empires across the world, right? And so I think it's very interesting, the perspective he's taking. Let's keep going.
In London, in UK, in Germany, in the Netherlands, all over Sweden, all over Europe, they're taking over the caliphate.
Okay, hold on. The caliphate. He's throwing out buzzwords. Literally just throwing out buzzwords. The caliphate. What about it? Like, can you explain that? You can't just throw out a word and just expect. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, the caliphate. What about it? What are you trying to say?
Oh, the Pope. Oh, the
exactly, you know, what I'm trying to say. It's very shallow. It's very shallow.
Yes, but it's these buzzwords, and now it just creates, people are just like, okay, it creates, you know, this this tension.
Yeah. You know? So here's my recommendation to people. My recommendation is to go and talk to people face to face, interact with another human being that shares a slightly different perspective with you. Sit with them, converse with them, understand them, look into their eyes. This is our prophet taught a method of dialogue. A lot of my research, as you mentioned, my two books, When Hearing Becomes Listening and With the Heart and Mind, I speak about this prophetic method of connection. Regardless of who he was dealing with, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he wanted an intimate connection with people. So as long as we keep otherizing people, we're never going to have understanding between us, right?
This is deep.
We have to connect. And so instead of listening to people talk about other people, why don't you go and you yourself interact and meet them?
Let's talk, man.
Right? Why don't you go to a campus and go there, speak to them, explain. Like, they have these things that are called like listening sessions, which are pretty interesting, right? It's let us listen and hear your perspective, right? You should now listen to our perspective. And what happens is sometimes we'll realize that there's so much that we overlap in and truly agree with. And there may be enlightenment that happens on both sides.
Yeah. So you throw out, you know, if you can go ahead, I mean, and always, you throw out caliphate, for example.
Yeah.
What, like you said, unpackage that. What does that mean? You can think what the perception they're trying to create, again, this tension, this negative.
World dominance.
World dominance. But hold on. If you have caliphate, you know, Khalifa.
Yeah.
If you had at a time in Jerusalem when the Muslims world under Khalifa, right?
Yeah.
What happened? Didn't Omar radiallahu anhu, this is what, the third caliph, right?
Yeah.
He actually repopulated Jerusalem with Jews.
Amazing.
The Muslims hate Jews. He literally brought them back after people who follow the other two co-hosts, with all due respect, they're Christian. It was the Christians that kicked out the Jews and said, no, this is a no-go zone. You cannot come here.
They say the similar thing with Spain, right? The similar thing, that it was Muslims that were helping the Jews of Andalus at the time.
Under the caliph.
But again, when you're just throwing out a buzzword, you're just throwing it, it's you're lobbing it up there in the air and hoping people take the most negative meaning. Without any depth of true understanding.
Yeah, that's not being...
it's not fair. It's not academically
not
fair.
Absolutely not.
And and I'm going to say it again. It's shallow. We're not going deep here.
It's disingenuous, right? Yeah. Yes.
Talking about, I have much love to the moderates.
Let's stop here. He has much love for the moderate.
You stop it.
Is interesting because it's, I'm okay with you if you fit my definition of what Islam is.
So you technically now, he's like, where are the moderates? Like, so you, are
moderate
you a moderate?
To who? Moderate to who? So what does that mean? That means I don't pray five times a day.
Yeah.
That means I don't care about my brothers and sisters in Palestine who a genocide is happening. What is moderate to you? Again, it's a word that doesn't have depth to it because it's not defined.
Yeah.
Right? And so where are the moderates? Whoever we put up, he'll point and be like, oh, he's not moderate. Right. And so, wait, what does that even mean, moderate? What are we talking about? What does that mean? Are there specific issues that there's an extreme stance on? For sure. Are there issues that there can be a lenient stance on in the community? Yes. But what are those issues? And what do you mean by where are the moderates at? Right. Do you mean what does that mean? Someone not practicing, is that moderate to you?
So right. That would be, if you were there right now, these are the questions you'd ask. And then now you can go ahead and develop some kind of understanding. You can get educated. You can push back. You can go back and forth and go ahead. And I always say, we're an open book.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Exactly.
Don't talk about us.
Exactly.
Talk to us.
And if we look at the vast majority or all of those protesting from the Muslim community in the encampments around the country today, these are nonviolent protests. These are moderate Muslims, if my understanding of the word moderate. These are people who love humanity. They love their Muslim brothers and sisters. They're tired of unchecked militaristic aggression against a defenseless population. And they're upset that the people is just turning a blind eye and letting history repeat itself. And so that word moderate to me. So let's listen to him for a bit.
Much love to the moderate Muslims out there. Respect to you. But where are they?
But
speak up.
Can I show a question, Adam? Because when you say you could talk about be anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish and nothing happens and it's totally cool. I think in this sense, because it's Israel, that from what I'm seeing from the setup from China and Soros. But I mean, if Kanye or anybody else, all these people mention anything about, you know, Jews run the world, they get canceled. So you can't say
no,
that it's not right.
No, they don't get canceled.
No, what do you mean? Kanye,
they're corporations that chose to do business with them.
Yeah.
So this is quite interesting. I mean, the other person is kind of pushing back that we've already had a culture in America and in the West of the cultural, you know, stigma or the evil of speaking against any demographic in a derogatory way, especially against the Jewish population. And what he's saying here is pretty deep. It's like, wait, there was already a status quo of being anti-Semitic, speaking straight up against one demographic, specifically the Jewish community, in a derogatory way. You were already getting canceled for that. So I think he's leading the way towards this bill that came, which kind of redefines anti-Semitism completely. And then the pushback is now, oh, you're not canceled for speaking against Israel. It's just follow the money, your corporation, you know, cut you off. But I think he's pushing back, saying there was already a standard. We already had a general understanding in America of what it meant to be anti-Semitic, right? So, again, let's keep listening. But I think what he's pointing out there is we already understood that. But here's the problem. They're changing. They're moving the goalpost. What's happening now is a redefinition of anti-Semitism to be synonymous with a criticism of the government policies of a country. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We should all be able to objectively criticize if a country is doing something wrong. And to just label it as anti-Semitism, to truly criticize and to question whether something is ethically right or wrong. No one is right just because of who they are. It's about the actions. It's about what you're doing as a country, as a nation, your policy towards another people that judges whether you are right or wrong. No one has a monopoly on truth, and everyone should be subject to be questioned. Why are you guys committing genocide? Why are you wiping out a population of defenseless people? What's going on? What's the reason for that?
So now you're going to end up getting labeled if you question now, because the slogan was never again, right? So now we're seeing something happen here, a Holocaust. This is happening, you know.
Right before our eyes.
Right, you know, kids pulling out body parts, right? Where's your love of Jesus and his way, which he's talking about, love your neighbor, love, blessed are the peacemakers. And people were like Candace Owens, you've heard of her. When she speaks out, she gets canned, now fired.
Yeah.
So other Christians also start to, you know, see that this is not the teachings of love.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you have Carl Tuckerson coming on,
yep,
and he brings on the Palestinian Christian out there.
Yep.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they're calling this out. Like,
yep. See, I think we're seeing the awakening, though, especially with this new bill. Once you threaten an American's free speech, you might as well have attacked baseball.
So this bill is dangerous and unconstitutional and wrong on every level.
Right. Like, you cannot go after free speech in America. Right. And people are seeing it for what it is. People are now questioning that we're not questioning before. There were many of us that already understood this, right? But people are questioning now how much the political contributions are contributing to these politicians formulating their opinions. They're not principled. They're just following the money.
You have Matt Walsh from What is a Woman? You've heard him. He's also from the Israeli Wire or Daily Wire.
Declaring aspects of the Bible hate speech.
Of course.
Yeah. So he was also coming out. He was on the same network or media with Candace Owens, part of the Ben Shapiro squad. And so he's coming out. He's someone who's a strong advocate, like many conservative Christian, just Americans. Like you said, this is like baseball, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Free speech.
Yep.
But it's eroding now.
Yeah.
Because of lobbying, and because of what? Certain people's state interests that you cannot even criticize a foreign country.
Mm-hmm. In a way that I honestly feel like some ways that the bill does more harm to the people they're trying to protect than good. Because the average American, when they look at the threatening of free speech, is now following that chain back. Like, whoa, what just happened? How did a foreign country's lobby have so much power in our Congress, right? And it could have a negative impact for what they're actually trying to do, right? Just how the average American, conservative Americans, and even from across the aisle are like, wait, how is another country having so much impact on the policies that we're implementing here?
And then let's get to the root of the matter here, because now the narrative is that, okay, if certain people, Palestinians or other Muslims, had their way, we're trying to protect ourselves from them. But now you in studying, I mean, so you went from being a Baptist, Christian, Catholic, and obviously you put it on the line. I mean, your family, you got to go against the odds, you know, a lot of challenges.
Yeah, challenges.
But the truth, I mean, you wanted obviously the truth and the belief in one and only one God, being morally upright, the Quran, it's a preserved book. Anyone who comes at it with a sincere heart will see this is from the creator of the heavens and
earth. Yeah, it's a continuation of the message of Isa, Jesus.
The continuation of the message of Jesus and Moses and Abraham.
All the way back.
Same way of life. Now you are convinced, and now you've been studying Islam for 20 years.
Yeah.
In that studying of 20 years, is Islam teaching you to hate Jews?
Not at all. Come on. Not at all.
You just say, come on.
No,
I mean, like, it's a joke, man.
That's what people don't realize. Like, it's almost laughable when people who have actually spent time around Muslims, let alone someone who's had the privilege and honor of studying deeply Islamic law and Islamic scripture. And for the last, you know, 15 years of my life, I've been a teacher of these things. So for me, as you said, it's almost laughable. And I don't mean to patronize anyone or laugh, but this idea that there is any type of hate for Jews or hate for Christians in Islam is quite interesting, because the Quran speaks so much about this term, the people of the book, right? In a way that they're so close to Islam, right? Having the tradition of other prophets. Of course, we believe in the finality of the prophethood of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. We believe that his message abrogates the previous messages, but continues in the theme of monotheism and devotion to God. But this kind of a world dominance view of Islam having this alter low key agenda, it's funny. It's just laughable. And what's not funny about it, low key, is the number of people that are just influenced by such shallow dialogue, like we're witnessing here. And so my recommendation to those people.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my recommendation to such people is what I said earlier. I think if they truly had dialogue with the Muslims around them, and there are Muslims around them, if they truly had dialogue with Muslims around them and not been spoon-fed from these clickbaity things, then they'd realize, like, wait, that guy I know, Ahmed down the street, my dentist or my doctor, or, you know, the guy in the Uber who's driving me, like, that's the true representation often of what Islam is. Not this right here.
It's such a strange relationship, because you have our friend Patrick. He's got his two co-hosts, three I believe are Christian. So you're sitting next to someone, if he's following his religion also, and this is with no disrespect. I mean, these are just facts. Just look it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you have here us as Muslims, we say Jesus, peace be upon him. We actually love Jesus.
This is the ironic thing. What you're saying is so deep. Go ahead.
But then you got over here this person who's bashing Islam, but he's got to do taqiyya that they accuse Muslims of. There's no such thing. This is a Shia concept of a certain branch of Shias. So we're people who are taught to be honest, upright. Yeah. I hold to a strict moral code. So here, if he's going to actually imagine your co-host is someone who, if he's following tenets of Judaism, he hates Jesus, right? He thinks that.
But now you can't say that.
You can't say that, but.
But that's what it actually says.
That's the text.
Right? Now, listen to this. This is from the Talmud. And this is where Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is being boiled in hot excrement.
Like, you can't deny what's there.
Yeah.
But now this is interesting, because they don't want us talking about that.
That's the thing now.
That's what's so interesting.
They want to shut down the conversation.
What's crazy about our tradition is, without going deep into the history, there was a moment when the early Muslim community, they migrated to Abyssinia in order to flee the persecution they were going through, which was a Christian country. And they were questioned about what they believe in Jesus. And Ja'far, who was the cousin of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, may Allah be pleased with them, all of the companions of the Prophet, he gave this beautiful speech about who Jesus was. And it left the Christian priest in that gathering, history tells us, weeping and awing in the beauty in which, and the reverence with which Islam speaks about Jesus.
Your Quran, say of the birth of our dear Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Relate in the book the story of Mary, how she withdrew from her family to a place in the East, how we sent to her our angel Gabriel, who said, I am a messenger from your God to announce the birth of a holy son to you. She said, "How shall I, Mary, have a son when no man has touched me?" And Gabriel replied, "For your Lord says, it will happen. We appoint him as a sign unto man and a mercy from us."
About Jesus, right? Peace and blessings be upon him. That is truly what's in our book. That is what's in our history. We love Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus. But again, what you're saying is so important, and people are sleeping on this, that what does the scriptures of other, the Talmud and different things, what does it actually say about who Jesus was?
Listen to this. This is from the Talmud, and this is where Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is being boiled in hot excrement as a punishment for mocking the words of the rabbis.
Yeah. It's not really nice.
We're actually saying his name correctly. What do you have? J-E-S-U-S. If you take the J, because in the Semitic languages, you didn't have that J in front of the E, right? That wasn't even his name.
Yeah, Isa.
So you would have, take the J off. You have Isus. How would you pronounce it without the J? E-S-U-S.
Ah, yes. That's beautiful.
What do you have?
Yeah,
how do you
pronounce that? Yeah, I never noticed
that. Wow. Isus.
Yeah,
Isa.
Yeah.
We love Isa, Jesus. Let's go to this next clip here. This is the original one that was sent, and then this one came out. All this stuff is developing.
Yeah.
And then this is with the protest that's happening and free speech being eroded.
There was a video you showed me about in UCLA. What were they doing in UCLA?
There was a bunch of protesters that were hundreds of students converting to Islam and participating in an Islamic call to prayer UCLA on the lawn. I sent it to Rob.
Okay, let's stop for a moment. Okay. First of all, we could talk about the aspect of whether it's accurate or not. And we could talk about that. But before that, here's the question. So what? Religious freedom. What, like, from an American perspective, the right to religion, the right to believe what you want to believe. But again, we're not, it's a double standard. So what if a lot of people are accepting Islam? That's part of American, what it means to be American. We were bounded on religious freedom, right? But how it's demonized. See that? How it's demonized. But here's the other thing. I assure you, that's not probably what happened. What happened is a lot of people, interfaith, they see Muslims praying. People participate. Oh, I'll pray with the Muslims, right? Did they all convert? I mean, what's the reality of that? But again, just number one, making it like, oh, hundreds of people are converting, we're taking over. Again, what's the narrative? Take over, take over, take over. Put everyone in defense.
Fear,
defense. That's it.
And
that's
then,
it.
What does that lead to? Violence.
Violence. Now, second of all, so the first thing is, so what? Second of all, that's probably not even what happened. They were defending Muslims who were praying, right? And Muslims were praying Jummah, their Friday prayer. We pray five times a day. Of course we're going to pray. Like, that's what a Muslim does. A moderate Muslim prays. Like, that's what we do. We pray. And people sometimes join us. What's the big deal? Like, how come this is worth noteworthy? That's what I want to know. Why is this noteworthy? Unless you're creating a narrative that the point of all of this is to take over America with Islam again.
What is
and I feel like we're back in the early 2000s. I don't know, what's going on.
Yeah, with the Sharia is coming to get you, the boogeyman. What do we make up? Muslims are 1%? What is it of America?
Yeah, I don't know the numbers exactly, but it's absurd. It's
not
absurd.
Even two. Yeah, but if you just, I like defining words. So if what he said now, and he seemed like a nice guy when I met him also. Mm. And if you define the word Islam, if you say, okay, students are converting to, people are accepting submission to the will of God, because technically, and having peace, because that's what Islam literally means, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Peace acquired by submitting your will to the will of God.
Yeah, what he means is they're changing their worldview to becoming a Muslim worldview, and that's problematic for the West.
Yeah.
This is age-old Orientalism again.
But the same show was actually aligning, right? They were bringing on Andrew Tate, Habib, and the whole thing with a man could be a woman be a man. And they were really liking that Islam was the last stronghold with all of the sexualization of children, the moral code of Islam. Now it's kind of...
You know why it changed?
Why?
It's changing because the world global community has now awakened to the realization that what Israel is doing in Palestine is genocide. And so now we can't at all show any softness. We have to go to our other allies, right? We have to just defend them tooth and nail. And we need to, the Quran says, and I'll read the Arabic and then translate it if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qist shuhada ala an walaw shuhada lillah walaw ala anfusikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us believers, and this is what we should strive to be, that be people who stand up to justice, witnesses for God, even if it be against yourself. And what that means is the truth is the truth, regardless of who does it. They need to be called out for it. What is happening in Philistine right now, Rafah, Gaza, what's happening there is a genocide. These are defenseless people. One of the strongest world's militaries is wiping out a population. Just call it what it is. Sleep good at night. Realize that you spoke truth in a tough moment, right? It doesn't matter who does it. Here's the crazy part. The thing people are having trouble with is that the victims in World War II are now the oppressive nation. Not all. I am by no means saying all. What I'm saying is that this state that was created as a result of World War II are now the perpetrators of injustice. And people have to be strong enough to go, you were oppressed, but now what you're doing is wrong. You don't have the standard of truth just to be with you because of who you were. Mm-hmm. By no means, and I don't want to be misquoted, so I'm saying again, by no means am I saying those people who were massacred in World War II.
This is an evil that happened.
Undoubted evil, yes. That happened. By no means am I saying those exact people. Yeah. Of course, right? This is generations later. But wherever oppression happens, whoever is the one doing wrong, the Quran is teaching us, even if you're doing wrong, you're wrong. So even if our friends... awil walidaini wal aqrabin, the Quran and that same verse says, if it be your close brother, if it be your own parents, what we want is to stand next to truth. And right now, the objective eye, if they truly look, let me give an example. They were looking into different potential war crimes that are happening in Philistine, and White House representatives were being asked by reporters, hey, we need someone to look into this. Who's looking into it? And the White House, press reporter was saying, yeah, we're asking Israel to give us more details. And the reporters are dumbstruck. They're saying, you're asking the accused to investigate themselves? And they just kept repeating the same thing. There's just the double speak is so clear now.
So for the people that missed this is just like the person who's accused of murder, of rape or whatnot, and then the prosecutor says, let him investigate himself and bring us his findings if he's guilty or not.
It's absurd. And what I think people are doing, they realize it, but the average American realizes it, and then they're just kind of getting on with life. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's this cognitive dissonance that's happening, right? And what these protests are trying to force is that there is no cognitive dissonance. Realize what's happening. Answer the question, like, what is what this nation is doing to this population of defenseless people, is this right? You know, are you okay with this? Are you okay with your tax dollars funding this? And when we have so many domestic problems.
Yes.
So many domestic problems, but billions of dollars due to a loyalty. But our loyalty should be to truth and justice and what's right and wrong. And every pundit is getting caught in doublespeak. They know it. I don't understand how they look in the mirror
it's clearly a huge hypocrisy. And then you have Palestinians who are saying, we got nothing against Jews. If it was my own brother stealing my home, if it was a Muslim stealing my land, I'd be against him also.
Yep.
Just like any American.
Yep.
Who came over,
yep.
Or you know, stealing? Someone came, the migrants or whoever, coming from a plane, boat, whatever, from Mexico. This place, that place, started taking over your house.
Yeah, you know what I think's happening though on a deeper level. I think like the evangelicals have for a long time, well before October 7th, have been pushing a narrative that the evangelical sector should love the cause of Israel, because if they get their job done, Jesus comes back. right? It's, there's a conflict.
Yeah, that's the engineering of prophecies, I call it.
Yeah, like this whole, so it's really interesting when you talk to, but I want to speak on a positive note for a moment.
Yeah.
I was, you know, we had a group chat, a Zoom call last week, and there were a number of prominent Christian, African-American Christian priests, pastors, deacons, you know, religious leaders who are all in all of their churches preaching and talking about the plight of Philistine openly.
Yes.
Openly. So we're seeing a shift. People are realizing, like, people with eyes see. They're seeing what's going on.
Yeah. This is that when I had a Christian senior pastor on, he broke down this dispensationalism, the rapture, and Scofield Bible. I want people to look into this. So you had the Cyrus Scofield, he was a con man, and he got these teachings from John Nelson Darby, these outside, really far extreme teachings from Christianity.
Okay.
And then he took these and he started preaching on people like end times prophecies and whatnot. Okay. Then he got funded by the Zionist American organization. They took him to the UK, Oxford Printing Press printed the Scofield Bible, and now you have the exegesis of certain verses that are, they're connecting them to this modern state of Israel. You heard about that?
A little bit.
A million copies for free. Then you had the late great Planet Earth, another series, 40 million copies. So the pastor's telling us that this was a well-funded effort to go ahead and push this propaganda through the Scofield Bible. Now the Christian, who's all about love, 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 and love your neighbor, and love for humanity, Jesus, Prince of Peace, and all this stuff, now he's led to believe, programmed to believe that this is part of their akidah, this is part of their beliefs to support this, when actually it's not. For the first 1,800 years of Christianity,
it didn't exist.
So this is a new phenomenon that's happening. So hopefully our Christian friends and neighbors can go investigate this and they can start speaking out also, because you actually have more Zionists than you have Christian Zionists. And now they're trying to engineer this whole virgin cow, the heifer,
I mean, that's crazy.
The red cow to take over Masjid Aqsa, and you know about this,
right? I'm
it gets
with
deep.
It. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Let's go ahead and let it play, and then
oil under is a big oil.
He loves oils.
Is that like?
Well, there's white people in there. There's people at Bali don't even know how to wear the freaking hijab. Don't.
You guys not
time out. Stop here.
Yes.
It's even painful.
It gets you're getting frustrated.
There's white people. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So they're very shallow. It's almost
that, because that insinuates that this is an Arab. This is for brown, black people. What do white people do?
I'm actually like, anyone with a slight level of intelligence is like, what is white? What is black in Islam? Like, are there? I don't even know where to start. I'm so sorry. It's just because there's white people there. Do you know what Palestinians look like? Do you know what people from Lebanon, Syria look like? Have you seen? This is, again, that I'm telling people to meet people, because when you see a red-haired Palestinian kid, you're gonna be like, oh wow, right? When you see this, that there's white people there, that's such an Bosnia, the countries that are Eastern Europe.
The brother who sent me this video, he's from from Syria. He looks white.
That's, like that. This is so shallow. This is so like bottom feeder, like like people
bottom feeder.
Bottom feeder. Like there's white people there. Like
come on, guys,
come on,
guys.
Do better than that.
Yeah.
These are Muslims praying.
Look, they're telling them not to record.
Now what?
These are Muslims praying. What's the deal? And it's funny.
Look, the white people just sitting there. They have no idea what's going on.
Well, what is this? Like, they're praying?
They're praying.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, but some people...
Look, you notice he has to balance.
Some people, white people that are just there.
By the way, you know what I would say? You know what I would say? Here's what I would say. Christians, why don't you go pray as well?
Oh, yeah, you'll never see
a Christian, why
don't you... Whoa. Hold on. What does he mean by that? So here you see the main host kind of in a tough place, because he realized how shallow what the guy is saying. Like, the footage they're showing shows nothing. It shows people sitting down watching Muslims pray. So it actually
praying like Jesus, actually.
Yeah, and so that's a whole nother.
That's a whole different. Like I told you, Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed to God. So, Jesus prayed like this. You should be praying like we're praying.
Remember when I told you, like when I converted, I felt closer to Jesus than before. That's what I was talking about. These verses about
how he
prayed,
worshiped,
how he washed before he prayed.
Ablution.
Anyway, so that's a whole nother discussion. Yeah. But again, the one host is trying to make this look so scandalous. And the main host actually realizes, like, we're not seeing anything. We're seeing other non-Muslims sitting watching Muslims pray. How can we make this a big deal? And then now he switches it to, well, why don't you Christians go pray? Let's finish listening to that because I want to see what he means by go pray.
Why don't you go on campus and pray? So what? This to me is an element of competition.
He switched the goalposts.
He switched, what do you mean?
Meaning like the one guy wasn't talking about that. He was talking about Islam taking over.
Yeah.
And now the other host, he sees that's a dead end because it's like there's nothing there. So now he's switching the direction. He goes, well, they're better than you now. Look how they're praying more than you. You should be praying too.
Uh-huh.
Wait, I thought you guys brought the video up to show Islam taking over.
Yeah.
And now that it's switching a direction. To what?
Started with the boogeyman coming to get you.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, they're better than you. You need to pray too. Why are you just sitting there? Okay, is that what we're talking about now? Okay.
You're catching these things.
They're simply out-praying you 5 times to 1. They're out-praying you like you wouldn't believe. I don't have a problem with this.
Yeah,
everything that ever becomes big that does well, they are better at rituals. They're better at traditions. They're better at those things, whether it's last names, companies, religions, cultures, all of that. When I see something like this and I say, okay, guess what?
Yeah, I don't know where he's going right now. He's just talking.
Yeah, okay, so we're almost out of time. So yeah, what's the summary?
Here's what I'm going to say to my my fellow countrymen. My message is, go across, go out of your comfort zone and meet other people. Have dialogue with people. Talk to other Muslims. Don't take your understanding of other people through these sources. That's not how you learn who humanity is, who people are. In every city across the country, there are Muslims who can talk to you and explain where these encampments are. There are people there who are giving time of their week sitting in these places because they believe so passionately. Go sit there, talk to them, just understand. Ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana. The Quran speaks about coming together and talking to one another. And I truly believe that if we put our biases aside and we objectively look at the loss of 35 to 40,000 lives, majority of which are women and children, in the ongoing onslaught, I think we can come to a conclusion that these people who are already under decades of oppression and colonialization and apartheid, this is what the reality was, that now it's gone up to a level of genocide. Talk to other people that understand these things, and you'll don't listen to these things because they don't really give you a fair representation of what the other side is saying. And so my message to people is, open your eyes, look at these bills that are being formulated and trying to be passed. It's only been through the House. I don't think it's gone through the Senate yet, so it still has to be pushed through the Senate and stuff. But realize how much lobbying and money is playing into our country's trajectory, and just wake up.
They're fooling you. You've been duped, and we're getting to see this live now. You're going to give up most of your constitutional rights now because of the fear of a boogeyman, Islam, coming to get you. Yeah. So now they're pushing this, and you need and the show is based on a lot of the principles of the Constitution that they talk about. You know, when they were talking about they were criticizing when people were going out there shutting down the speech of one who's advocating for there to be a washrooms that a man can't go into a woman's washroom, and people are speaking out, they're shutting it down, the Democrats and whatnot. But now you're shutting down free speech when people are just with their humanity on. These are Jews also who are speaking out.
Also have Christians. That's important to talk about.
Yeah, Christians are certain Christians who are not brainwashed with this whole Cyrus Schofield theology and whatnot. They're speaking out and they're saying this is wrong. You know, this is we also, if it was innocent Jewish children or Christian children, Islam calls us to stand up against this. We don't have a problem condemning it. Why do you have a problem condemning it? Meaning, why?
Yep. I'm 100%. Everything you're saying is exactly spot on.
We will condemn this.
You know, what one thing I know we're going to wrap it up, but one thing I find interesting is one of the things that I read was in that bill was this saying that the Jews killed Jesus, right?
Now, there's another example on the list that's gotten some attention. It's the that it's anti-Semitic to claim that Jews killed Jesus. That's what the IHRA says. But that is not a claim invented by anti-Semites. That's in the gospel.
And I saw a congressman try to, walk it back that, to say all Jews and stuff like that. And what's interesting here, what's interesting in this moment is when it comes to Jesus, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him. Muslims deeply love, venerate, respect. I don't know what else to say. We love Jesus. He's in our book. There's so much positive. Of course, we don't believe he's the Son of God, but he's a prophet of God. And now the Jewish, we're talking text now, text. The Jewish Talmud says very clearly, like, this is factual data. But now we can't say that anymore if this bill is passed. We can't say that.
It's like opening the Quran and saying here that that there's a chapter named after Jesus' mother. It's factual. It's there.
It's there.
It's chapter 19 of the Quran, right? It's there.
The chapter of Mary.
Of Mary.
The mother of Jesus.
We're not hiding it. It's there. Go look what it says.
So what's happening now is the part of their belief system, which should make a Christian unsettled, is being forbidden to be said anymore. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Whereas that is actually what they believe. They don't like Jesus, quite frankly, right? Like they did not, right? And that's where they're going to say, well, you can't say that now because you're painting a wide brush on everyone. Okay. Historically, a group of Jews were the ones who killed or attempted to kill Jesus, right? And their Talmud speaks in a negative light of him. That is factual data. And the Muslims, just factual data, no spin here, guys. The Muslims love Jesus and the Virgin Mary, mother of Jesus. That's just factual data.
Can you say without a doubt that it is anti-Islam to be anti-Jewish?
Of course,
and I'll give evidence. Like, you correct me if I'm wrong, right? You've been teaching for 20 years, because Moses, by ethnicity, they were Jews, right? But by faith, they were ones who submitted their will to God. So they were Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So to be anti-Jewish is to be what? Anti-Mary, anti-Jesus. To be anti-Semitic is anti-Palestinian. Arabs and Palestinians are Semitic people.
Let me answer your question more direct on. You asked me, is it anti-Islam to be anti-Jew? And I'll say this straightforward, unequivocally, very clearly. When Prophet Muhammad arrived in Medina, there was a community of Jews already living there.
Yes.
He formed a treaty with them. And he called us all Ummatan Wahida. Now, in English, that means we are one nation.
One nation.
That's our prophet doing
kinda
that.
Kind of goes one nation under God.
It's in our books.
Before the Constitution. Okay. That is really profound.
Ummatan wahidatan. It says it clear. We are ummatan wahidatan. So long that we uphold justice and we are not treacherous and we do not break the covenant, we are all one nation. Mm-hmm. The problem is not Judaism. Come on. The problem is colonialism and Zionism. This is my right to take this land from you. That's the issue. That's the problem. A God-given right that this is mine. That feeds into that white supremacy stuff too. Right? So again, I hope that our listeners, I hope I'm not preaching to the choir. You know, I hope that there are people from different denominations that listen to this and find it within themselves to, you know, dialogue with other Muslims and get a fair view and perspective, and to not be spoon fed by this bottom feeder content.
This is not deep stuff.
This is not academically sound. It's not deep. They're just throwing stuff in. Literally, you throw something on the wall, see if it sticks. That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm looking at the view count. How many thousand, 80,000 people just sat there and listened to someone throw stuff on the wall and see if it sticks. And you could have spent that time talking to an actual human being.
Come visit the Muslim. Come to the mosque. Come. You can call us 1-800-662-4752. We got a hotline. You can go and ask questions. Before we conclude, also, you as a Baptist, Christian, also a Catholic, And now also one of the talking points that they like to mention is that now someone who they make this subtle and sometimes even direct that if someone accepts Islam, yeah. if you're someone who's supporting or your humanity's on and you don't want to see babies dying, that somehow you're anti-America, you're and you now, Michael Smith, now that you've accepted Islam,
yeah.
are you like anti-American? Are you, yeah, you're Amer- so listen, are you like against your country?
Or? The spirit of America has always been the ability to challenge what's happening on all levels.
Yeah.
It's not un-American to question laws being passed. It's not un-American to exercise free speech, free religion. That's not un-American. That is what America is about, diversity, about difference, about saying, no, you know what, that's wrong. What's American? Rosa Parks sitting on a bus saying, I'm not moving. That's American, right? Civil rights, that's American. Because our country is supposed to allow that demonstration of, no, they're not gonna just stifle that and push it down. So what does it mean to be un-American? If you guys think you have a monopoly on what it means to be America, be American, I just think you haven't got on the ground and walked through the inner cities of Philadelphia and New York and different places and seen the diversity that exists. I think that, yes, we may be against certain aspects of what you think it means to be American, right? But that's not, you don't have a monopoly on what it means to be American, straight up.
We want right. the best. I mean, I love my country, America. Well, you might not agree with certain. I don't agree that now a man should go in a woman's bathroom. I mean, yeah. was that American? No, but now we have free speech. Now we're going to, according to the law, within mm-hmm. with what's permitted, we're going to go and speak out against certain evils yeah. that now people have started to evolve to do, and morality and whatnot. Yeah. If you go back at a certain point in time in America, you would not see where, like, the co-host, sorry, with all due respect, you know, someone who's... this is not a low blow or anything, but you see, like, people, it's a hypocrisy when you see someone, you know, we're pushing family values, and you got people who are, you know, pushing out there, promoting OnlyFans girls, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Promiscuity,
yeah.
you know, all these things. Now, is that American? So when Muslims speak up and say, look, like, you remember you watched some of these old films, like, where you'd have the father, if the two were coming together, the father's in the back,
yeah.
and marriage was more promoted, right?
Yes, definitely.
This is Islamic. This was a part of America at one time, yeah. right?
And I think that's where they agree with us.
One more thing.
Please.
You had in Chicago here, you had at one point, you had tickets being issued if you were not properly dressed at the beach.
Wow.
That was in Chicago. You can see the men wearing tank tops yeah. and the women also not being, you know.
Well, even till today, there's something called indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure.
Well, it just keeps getting.
We can go deeper into it, but.
Right? There's an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another rabbit hole to talk about, but the idea of, like, there's a level of shame at yes. some level. The fact that there are laws on indecent exposure
yes.
shows that we understand as a human being that there's some level of exposure that is too much. But all that changes is over time, that standard changes. But you already have laws that there's a such thing as indecent. So decency, indecence, these are relative terms that kind of shift over
and
time.
And who gave you the right? Now I'm going to monopolize. Now you are holding out what's American, what's not,
yeah.
and who's American, who's not, and whatnot.
Yeah, so that's, see, these what's the hard part is, the people he's showing in those videos praying, these college students, young Muslim, these are... sometimes third generation Americans,
yeah.
right? That's why a lot of this goes back to immigration too. A lot of it goes back to xenophobia, right? A lot of it goes back to xenophobia because as we see the rates of the family growth rates, what's the term? I'm sorry. But the rate at which certain demographics are reproducing is outstretching the
yeah.
rate of reproduction in other demographics, right? And so there's a threat. People feel threatened, right? But there's nothing to be afraid of. Like,
yeah.
that's what we have to understand. And that's what we have to talk about.
Tell us, what was it finally you felt closer to Jesus? Michael Smith, former Christian, obviously now. What was it at the end that finally had you accept submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation?
Oh, man. Well, this is
Islam.
I know we're at the end of our show here, so I'm going to give the short version of it. I honestly, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I have always felt as I was studying Christianity that it was rather confusing. The nature of God was confusing.
The Trinity
and the nature of who Jesus was. I find a lot of doublespeak when they people say Lord, they say attach Lord to Jesus Christ, or they pray to Jesus Christ. I think people, some people will outright say he is God. No, he's the Son of God. And there's a lot of haziness there, even amongst certain denominations of what the nature of Jesus was. And I felt as I studied Islam that it was just crystal clear who Jesus was, who God was, who prophets were, and the role and function that they served. As a Muslim, we worship one God. We believe in all the prophets. The prophets come and give us a message. We follow that message to the T because that's what the prophets brought us. It's a struggle. Some days you're weaker, some days you're stronger. But that's the struggle of life, to be upright. And for me, I'll say it was the Quran. I read the Quran and it just spoke to me. It was familiar to me. It was familiar but clarifying, right? Familiar but clarifying. I converted right after September 11th. And I think one thing that helped me a lot, there wasn't a lot of internet at that time. I don't remember, it was way back in the day. And I just dealt with people. I talked to people. I read the Quran myself. I talked to people. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
What advice would you have for Patrick Ben David? Really, I mean, he had a lot of Muslim a lot of Muslims are feeling very disrespected. Islam is being disrespected. I mean, if Habib, you know, hearing somebody's things, who's he's out on, what advice would you have for him so he can be more fair and balanced and he doesn't end up creating more resentments within the Muslim community?
So I don't know him. I haven't really listened to a lot of his stuff, to be honest.
He seemed like a very nice man.
To all influencers who have a platform, and
yes,
I say to them, be upright, be honest, be honest, and don't worry about the money. And I'm not saying he is,
yeah,
but a lot of time there's pressure because where will my kids get food from, right? And I'm not saying he is. I don't know him. So this is not at all an attack on him. I don't know the man at all. But a lot of times our pocketbooks and the impact financially is what's going to determine who's on shows, who's speaking, what narratives are going. And when you speak truth, it's going to be difficult. Speaking truth. They say when Martin Luther King, before he was assassinated, his popularity rate was so low.
Who?
Martin Luther King Jr.
Martin Luther King?
His popularity rate was so low. Despite that, now we look back and there's a holiday for him.
Wow.
Right? If you're searching for likes and attention, sometimes... Even
Muhammad Ali, same thing.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is there has to be a moral compass that is focused on God and focused on my responsibility for God. And that one day I'm going to stand before God and be questioned about everything that I said. And sometimes speaking the truth is not going to be advantageous to your sponsors, to this, to that, and the third. But at the end of the day, we're all going to stand before God and be questioned about what we did.
Thank you. Thank you for helping us to go over
the latest
developments with this. Hopefully people, they can benefit from this, and most importantly, the people viewing, and they can get a different perspective.
No, it's amazing. I love it. My research, my book that I've written, When Hearing Becomes Listening, and With the Heart and Mind, they're all about the prophetic model of it, connecting with people and how important it is to connect with one another. And so when we see everyone polarizing, more than ever, we need to come together understand each other.
Those two books are Heart...
With the Heart and Mind. And When Hearing Becomes Listening.
And where can people get those books?
Google it, it'll come up. It'll come up, yeah.
Thank you. And it comes down to having the rectitude, the moral integrity, and we will continue to go ahead and have this dauntless persistence to relaying the truth, to helping people understand the truth, and... truth shall set you free. And if you go ahead and continue to tune in, you're going to get more of the proper perspective. And if you really want to, like our guest here, what did he do? He read the Quran. So people really promote being someone who is sound in their reasoning, reading, learning, growing, have you read the Quran? You're talking about Islam. Why don't you pick up the Quran and actually read it for yourself? Get a good copy of the Quran. A translation is only one version, and we'll give you that for free at thedeanshow.com. Go ahead. We'll get it to you. We'll take care of everything so you can go ahead and see and judge for yourself. And if you have any questions, don't be a keyboard warrior. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. That's again, 1-800-662-4752. Ask those tough questions and see for yourself, and try to set up a meeting with a Muslim. Visit a mosque. You see, it's not a bomb-making factory, and don't fall for this nonsense that they're programming you with. The Islam, Muslims are the boogeyman coming to get you. Far from that. We are here to better our communities, our societies, our families. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Eddie is taking this amana of the people very seriously. He was just sharing a story with me that they had some benches inside that needed to be moved, and Eddie together, father and son, were lifting these benches. Join us in this project, inshallah, so we can establish a beautiful deen center.